and oppressed people. And Nehemiah was extremely grieved at the people, because he himself, he gave his own testimony here in chapter 5. He says, he himself, in verse 18, supplied to the others and did not take even the salary to do that work. In Nehemiah chapter 5. In verse 14, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provision. In other words, he was allowed to draw on the governor's position, which he didn't even. In fact, he even supplied the needs of all the others who worked with him. So he set the example. And remember, whenever a revival comes, a church has success, a minister has success, people have success, one of the things that you got to watch out for is greed. If greed comes in, it will destroy the move of God. And that applies also to the secular world. You could start off with a very noble vision. You know, if you ask me, I believe if anyone is in a secular world, one of their goals is that whatever company they set up will also help many others fulfill their lives go through that company. It will give job satisfaction and blessing not only to themselves, the owner, but to the employees. Because it's their career and their life too. And it must be a vision that helps others fulfill their goals. And not only our own selfish goal. There's no room for selfishness on this earth, this planet earth. Selfishness comes to its own dead end. And so here we have Nehemiah almost stopped by the greed of his own people. And it's a good thing he overcame that. But the third thing, which are the other scriptures that we read here in chapter 13, which was on the side of the devil, he infiltrated in. But in chapter 13, on the side of the people of God, they compromise. Compromise is one of the easiest things that will cause a revival to cease. Compromise in our ethics, compromise in our principles, compromise in our methods. And when we compromise, that will be the end of the revival that God wants to bring. And all through this book, you'll find those principles that we have here. Even in chapter 7, when Ezra was dedicating the place, you notice in chapter 8 and chapter 9, that one of the things that they did to preserve the revival was, in chapter 8, there were three areas that are what I call, there are three areas that Nehemiah did to preserve the revival, but there are three that we are close that we are called give life to the revival. Not just preserving. Preserving is doctrinal and structural and personality. But it gives life and vibrance. In other words, it put the fire there. And continue to put a fire. Chapter 8, you notice that when they came together, they were to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 10, it says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. One of the things that continue to give vibrancy, we're talking about vibrancy and life and zeal. Not just carry on. Sometimes maintain a revival can be a carry on spirit. Yeah, just carrying on. No, no vibrancy. We need some vibrance, some fresh blood to come in. And fresh blood can only come in through, number one, there must be celebration. Celebration. See, there's a time to fast, there's a time to feast. But here it's not talking about just feasting. It's talking about time of real celebration before God. The people wanted to cry because it was completed. Before it was a rubbish dump. Now it's completed. They wanted to cry. They were so touched with tears. But yet Nehemiah and Ezra says, do not weep. This is a holy day. We must make ourselves rejoice. There's a time when we must need to learn to rejoice. That is why in any church, if too long you forgot how to dance in the spirit. I mean, just take for example. If for example, every meeting we come, we always say, shh, quiet, shh, quiet. After 10 years, we're all half dead. You must mix. Healthy diet is a balanced diet. So there are times when you really need to shout for joy. Dance unto the Lord with all your might. Rejoice unto God. Then you continue to have zeal and life. But the other is true. The second area is chapter 9. Fasting and weeping still must be there. The silence also must be there. For example, if you go to a church where day and night always dancing unto the Lord. Every Sunday you're always dancing. They never have a quiet moment in the Lord. In our meetings, we mix choruses with hymns, right? But if for 365 days, you're singing hymns, right? Hey, where are the choruses? All right, then the next year, everything chorus. No, there's a mixture. We must get the best out and be able to flow forth. And they will miss out. If a church just dance unto the Lord and only have the fast songs, every time they worship, it's fast song. In the end, all young people, why the old too old to come to dance? That's why we only wish to a certain group of people. Can guarantee you, those, you know, well-educated intellectual, they won't go to a church and say, you must dance. The moment you put that on your door, they won't even step in. You will shut yourself out from a lot of people whom God can reach. God never said everybody must dance. He just said, let's dance. Let's give free choice. So for some people, wriggling their toes is dancing, so be it. Right? No problem with me. Which is why, usually in our church, we instruct the worship leaders, never tell people what to do or what not to do. If you want to clap, you feel the clapping anointing come, clap. But never say, I don't want to see anybody not clapping. You know, don't ever do that. You're not headmaster. You're worship leader. And if you have an anointing to dance, if the worship leader dance himself, people will just catch on. See, in the church, we do what I call a catch on. We pass it on to works and to example. We don't pass it on with a book, a law. Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do this? Do you do that? No. And so there must be a mixture. There must be a rejoicing. There must be fasting, praying, and mourning. This will give vibrancy to the revival. Third area that will give vibrancy is important here. In chapter 10, there must be faithfulness in season, out of season. What they did in chapter 10 is they began to give up all the work. Between the feasting and the fasting is the working. And the working has to be, you have to have a certain steadiness. Some people only know how to feast and know how to fast, but don't know how to work. See, we must learn how in season and out of season to continue doing those things over and over again consistently. It may even look dull. It may even look like, hey, you know, we've been doing this for some time. And the priest's work is daily. They put all the daily offerings, the showbread in verse 33, the new moon, the regular burnt offering. All the jobs have come back. And every day they're burning the burnt offering. So there must be a certain type of people who got a consistency and what I call faithfulness. Like we praise God for, you know, the musicians who come constantly. You don't see them, but they carry all these things and carry down all those things. And all those who have taken part, some of you helpers, etc. There's consistency, right? We don't want to just, you know, say, you know, when is the big campaign coming? Oh yeah, I'll be there, you know. Then at the other meeting, See, they're different. There's some who go for the feasting. Some go for the fasting. Some go for the working. But God wants all to have some feasting, some fasting, some working. Then we'll be balanced people in God. And there will be a vibrancy that comes in into the revival of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask that these principles, O God, of preserving revivals, principles, O God, of maintaining revival, giving vibrancy to revival, knowledge of the works of the enemy without and within, that these four major areas that we see in Nehemiah, Lord, that will be applied to our lives, to our churches, to our fellowships, wherever we go, Lord, that we may be a blessing to all mankind. We ask, O God, that You will cause each one to be a great blessing to all their neighbors, to those around, O God, to those in their fellowships, Father. Increase Your grace upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's all stand together and worship God. And as we sing the song unto God again, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Those of you who need laying on hands of ministry, we'll minister to you. If there's any one of you who have not accepted Jesus into your heart and life before, and tonight you're saying, I want to know this Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or perhaps you have backslided and gone away from God, and God speaks to your heart to return to Him, tonight you come right up, go over to my left area, and we will have people minister for you. And you came with your friend, ask your friend to accompany you to the front where we will minister to you. Others of you who need the ministry of laying on hands, we will pray for you tonight also before you go. Praise God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Those of you who need ministry can come out right now. Those born again or those backslided coming back to God, and you hear God speaking and calling you back to His fellowship, and you come right up to my left here. We'll pray for you before you go. Ministers, come right up right now, very quickly. We thank You, Jesus. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Close your eyes and lift up your hands to God. We pray for you right now. Those to be born again on this side so we can identify. Those already born again, you can stand here for prayer. Those who have not been born again before, you come over here, we'll pray with you.